Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, draft week is upon us, and we think we know what the Bears are going to do. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, you and I are sitting here at Hallis Hall on Tuesday at 12:28 p.m. We just got done talking to Ryan Poles, who didn't say that they'd take Caleb Williams, but he kind of did say that they'd take Caleb Williams, too. There's a big smile on his face when he told everybody to stay tuned till Thursday.
He stopped just short of telling you what airline Caleb Williams is flying to Chicago for his introductory press conference on Friday. Ryan Poles is kind of, I think, this is an assumption, but I think Ryan Poles doesn't like to lie.
Right.
Whereas it's kind of like nothing to a lot of general managers and coach. I think he really doesn't want to lie, even though it's kind of part of the job.
Yeah.
So he went like as far as he could to say, we know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He has talked only about one quarterback for how long? Months?
Yeah, 2 months.
I mean, it's the only guy they brought in for a visit, as far as I know, that plays quarterback. And he's just sitting there kind of squirming around in his chair, smiling, saying, well, we have to keep some excitement for Thursday night. I think Patsy even asked him, did the league order you not to say?
And he said, no, I haven't talked to anybody at the league, but. I'm sure ESPN and ABC are thrilled that he did not say. Although, you know, we've seen this coming since, what do you want to say, 6 weeks now at least?
Gosh, I mean, how long have we known for sure? I mean, at least a month.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
We've thought this was likely mm-hmm. for longer than that and probable and a good idea for longer sure. than that, but for sure, I mean, minimum a month.
And this is great news, obviously, for the Bears, that there is somebody so obvious that you can write it down in, if not pen, then one of those weird 80s erasable pens, and that he happens to play a position that they've desperately, desperately needed for 104 years.
Caleb Williams will be unlike anything they've had in terms of the expectations, the college stardom. I mean, he's about, on Thursday, Pat, he's about to become the biggest sports figure in Chicago right now.
Absolutely.
Before he plays a game. Mm-hmm. We don't know that he'll be that good.
Right.
But he will have that level of attention starting Thursday night. I mean, I feel like it's already been there.
Yeah.
I feel like I've already been covering him for the last couple of months as though he is the Bears quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be enormous. So if you're if you're kind of tired of the draft and tired of Caleb Williams,
right?
Like, sorry, you're not going to be exhaling once right. this is over Thursday night, Friday morning. That's just the beginning.
Well, and I know some Bears fans who, because of their affection for Justin Fields, kind of have rolled their eyes through this Caleb Williams pursuit. But boy, number one, my prediction is they're all going to love him on Thursday night when he holds the jersey up. And number two, if you don't want to see Caleb Williams, it's going to be really hard to stay. I mean, it's going to be really hard to not see him in every advertisement the Bears have, especially as they try and push the stadium. It's going to be hard not to see him on prime time when the NFL unveils their schedule. He is going to be not only the biggest star they have, but marketed as one of the stars of the league. And that is good news. That is... The Bears fans who stress out about this, I don't understand. This is all really good news.
So that's where it's different than the hype around Mitch, even though he was a number two pick. That's very high.
Mm-hmm.
Or Justin Fields. I mean, this is a totally different ballgame. This is the guy everyone has been watching for 2 years now to be the number one pick in this draft class. And it's gonna be a lot going on all at once.
This guy's been on Dr. Pepper commercials for 2 years. Like,
he's a multimillionaire already.
This is a whole level of celebrity that I would argue I'm not sure an NFL draft pick has ever had before.
That's unprecedented, I think, in the league, let alone for the Bears.
Right.
Did you watch Caleb Williams last week on The Pivot? Did you watch or listen to
it? I listened to a little bit of it, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of times I am very cynical and think, okay, well, stuff like this, especially leading up to the draft, how packaged, how rehearsed is some of this stuff? One of the things that people will, one of these, I think, phantom concerns people have about Caleb Williams is, well, he seems kind of weird.
Right.
They just couldn't even probably specify it beyond that, other than there's just, I don't know, he just seems kind of weird.
Paints his fingernails.
He could not have come across more normal and serious, mostly serious,
right,
in that pivot interview. And some of the things he talked about were crazy. He reminded me, the thing that kept coming to mind, and I'm not saying this is just, you know, this is an exact comparison, and this is, you know,
what global superstar are you going to compare?
It was just the first thing that came to mind as he's describing his childhood and the training that he's been doing for this since he was probably 10 was Tiger Woods.
Right.
This is just, this has been what his parents and he have been pursuing,
right,
since he was a little kid, to the point where they wanted him. This was an interesting question that came up on that podcast where they asked him, you know, with all the money your parents have put into this, and start there, like his parents have money. He's come from money before he ever hit NIL money in college. With all the money your parents have put into your career and all the time and all the, you know, how much they have, like, formed you to be this number one pick in the draft, star quarterback, did they ever let you go out and have fun? Like, were you allowed to go out on a Friday night and have fun? And he said, yeah, I was allowed because I lived alone. He grew up in the suburbs. I forget if it was Maryland or Virginia. And they wanted him to go to this elite private school in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And he said, well, with no traffic, that's 20, 25 minutes. But he said on school morning, trying to get there, it's an hour and a half.
Right.
So my parents got me an apartment in Washington, D.C. And I lived there alone during high school. Mm-hmm. So I could go out anytime I want. I could do whatever I want. I was an adult on my own at that point. But I wasn't throwing away everything that we'd been working for. Like, I worked for this, too.
Right.
I'm not going out on Friday night and throwing away my career, throwing away my future. And I'm not letting my guys do that, either. He said we would go out after games on Friday night. Mm-hmm. But I would make sure not only was I getting home when I should be without doing anything that was going to be problematic for me, but also everybody else that has a future in this. So that was like the snapshot I took from that interview of him talking about, you get this view of him from listening to that. I recommend it to everybody, that this is a guy who has been extremely focused, extremely serious on this opportunity. It's all he's ever known.
I think he wanted the Bears to match his level of seriousness this offseason. And I think that we could debate all day whether the Bears would have traded for Keenan Allen if it was a different quarterback there, or if the Bears would have spent almost all of their free agent capital on offensive players. I think they needed the help, obviously, but I think an added benefit is they showed him real quick, hey, man, you know, we are trying to do the best by you and by the team, you know, in that order. I think that has been super helpful because, you know, the rumblings you heard, you know, in January about, he might steer, you know, he might steer himself to his hometown team in Washington never really came to pass. And, boy, they can only help him further now, too. I mean, that ninth pick, you know, could be a wide receiver. And if it's Rome Odunze, who was on the flight from presumably L.A. to Detroit with Caleb Williams on Tuesday, that's a really intriguing proposition for me. Do you think it'll be a receiver? What do you think's going to happen at number 9 overall?
If my best guess, see, this would be, if I had to guess what I think Ryan Poles would do, I think there's a 20% chance of this, a 30% chance of that, a 15%. There's nothing that I think is a greater than 50% chance that he'll do. None of these avenues. There's so many different options. But if I had to guess which one I think he's most likely to do, I feel like he's got to be trade down. I think Ryan Poles likes to trade down. That's not, let me just, you grimaced. You hated that. And I want to tell you, I do too.
Right.
Because I wouldn't do that. If anything, if I was going to move off of 9, I would move up and try to get
Marvin Harrison.
Harrison or Alt. Something like, maybe even Neighbors if you think that highly of him. And I would say maybe you justify that by saying this roster is close enough that what we need is that. We need star players, not more players. But Ryan Poles loves to trade down. He keeps saying he won't.
Right.
He keeps essentially saying he won't, that he likes right where they sit. Mm-hmm. But he loves to trade down.
I think that scenario makes a ton of sense if there is a quarterback at 9 that somebody is willing to overpay me for. I think McCarthy will probably be gone by then. But
somebody offers you something crazy.
Let's say Drake May is available at 9 and the Broncos, you know, look at me and go, boy, we got to have that pick. Like, if you can get a king's ransom for it, yes, do it, do it, do it.
You get an extra first and an extra second to swap.
I don't even know. Just get. If you're going first, yeah. If you're going back three spots, yeah, either a first next year or a second. You know, second this year. Although the Broncos, the Broncos don't have a lot of draft capital. But yeah, and I buy that if there's a quarterback there for the taking. If it's just somebody moving up because they'd rather take their flavor of offensive tackle, I don't know. I think it'd be fun to give him a wide receiver. And I wonder whether all of these mock drafts that you and I have written, but you know, hundreds of others have written too, I wonder whether we lean toward receiver because that's a lot more fun to write about than an interior defensive lineman. But, you know, boy, that would be a heck of a first day if they could end up with one of those three receivers.
It is sensible, too. It's not just media sensationalism or whatever to write about wide receivers.
Keenan Allen's entering the last year of his contract.
They could use a wide. They only have two, by the way.
Right.
So they're short one to begin with.
Tyler Scott would fight you on that, I think.
Probably. Tyler Scott would say he's an NFL starter right now.
I don't even
think Tyler Scott would say that. He's so polite and grounded.
Yeah, they're going to need another receiver one way or the other, whether it's a first-round pick.
They don't have a third receiver right now, in my opinion. I think that they sit in a position where they could get the number three wide receiver, which is great. They could get the number two offensive tackle, which is great. They could get the number one defensive end or tackle, and that's great. Those are all possible for them at nine, and there's no wrong answer in my book for that.
Yeah.
They have needs at those positions, and they have needs for premium talent at those positions, not second-round pick, third-round pick, see if we can develop them into something. I tend to think that defensive tackle is not – I mean, that would be the one that I wouldn't want to see them do, and that would be problematic for them a year after they drafted two defensive tackles – one in the second round, one, I think, with the first pick of the third round.
Right.
That would be admitting that those picks weren't great.
That's an awful lot of stuff to throw at one position, isn't it?
I want to see a pass rusher. That's what I want to see, if we want to cut to the chase of what we want. The number one thing you need on a team is a quarterback. The number two thing you need is a pass rush. They don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been pretty crazy asking the staff to win without those things,
mm-hmm.
without a proven passer at quarterback and without a pass rush on defense. That means when you don't have that, you don't have the most important thing on either side of the ball, it's smoke and mirrors everywhere trying to cover up for that and compensate for that, and you can see where that's gotten them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're going to fix quarterback at one. I think I would try to fix pass rush at two. And you sit here and say, well, they have Montez Sweat. They need two.
Right.
You have to have two. We saw at the end of the season what Montez Sweat without anyone else looked like, and it was nothing. And you still have the least potent pass rush in the league.
Yeah, I mean, what, they finished with the second fewest sacks in the NFL last year, even with that surge at the end. I think one of the arguments you can make for Byron Murphy, the Texas defensive tackle, is that, you know, I guess there's a world where DeMarcus Walker could just play defensive end. And if so, maybe you sit there and you go, look, we've slightly upgraded at defensive end by moving Walker over, and we've got a tackle that we like. You made the perfect point, which is the big argument against it is we're really going to spend a one, a two, and a three on interior defensive linemen, like in 2 years. Like, that doesn't make sense. On the other hand, if you look at the roster, it's the two two positions I think that call out for, hey, we need a starter here, is defensive end and, kind of depending on your Jervon Dexter opinions, defensive tackle. Everything else you can, I mean, I think Tyler Scott in the slot is a less glaring need than defensive end right now.
I don't agree with you on that. Well, yeah, they're both, yes.
I think if you have
big needs.
I think with Cole Kmet and with Gerald Everett both playing tight end, I think you can live without having a star slot receiver.
Left tackle is an interesting spot because as the way I understand their thinking is, they like Braxton Jones,
mm-hmm.
but they don't love Braxton Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And you could imagine this perfect scenario. By the way, architects being two former offensive linemen in Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, of drafting a top 10 left tackle the year after you draft a top 10 right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Braxton Jones, probably the best swing tackle in the league.
Right.
You probably have the best contingency plan in the entire league mm-hmm. if Braxton Jones is your backup. You don't have the best left tackle in the league if Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle. But there is almost no wrong answer at that pick for me.
No.
They have huge needs at important positions, and they will be able to get a top talent at 9. That's why I wouldn't trade it. I think you can make the mistake of filling your roster with too many B-level players and not enough stars.
Right.
You're going for a star here at quarterback, obviously, but you need more stars besides him.
I love the story that they told at the press conference today that Ian Cunningham used to work for the Ravens and Ozzie Newsome, the GM there. And the, Ozzie's advice was, if you're going to draft someone in the top 10, you want to put them on your album cover. They want to be not only stars, but the kind of people that you can stand by, promote as your stars. When you say the Bears have a lot of B's and not a lot of A's, if we were putting together a Bears album cover right now, we're talking about Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, DJ Moore.
Not a Pro Bowler last year. I mean,
and in the greatest season he's ever had, he wasn't a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
I mean, he's good. He's very good. But
yeah, I mean, the whole, you know,
he's not Justin Jefferson.
Right. But the whole critique of, you know, the whole critique that got Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy fired, the idea that they had fewer than 5 blue chip players.
And the ones they had were at linebacker and running back.
Right.
The places where you don't really.
Now, I think you could argue that they have a dozen B or B plus players. But, you know, that next level, we're not there yet.
This is the phasing of this makes sense if at this point you go for stars.
Yeah.
Needing to fill out your roster with a lot of B-level players is what you're doing at the beginning of a rebuild.
Right.
You know, drafting first and ninth, bringing in stars, those guys are just going to sit there and lose. They're valuable. They'd still be invaluable. I'm sure Ryan Poles would have loved to have had those picks
right.
in his first draft instead of no first draft
right.
pick. But those guys are going to sit there and struggle and lose a lot. This is the time where I think this roster is close enough, which brings us to an interesting conversation now about Caleb Williams. I think he will be walking into one of the best situations imaginable
yep.
for not just a number one quarterback, number one pick, but a highly drafted quarterback. You're almost always going into a disaster situation,
mm-hmm.
like C.J. Stroud was
right.
last year and thrived nonetheless.
Right.
But Trevor Lawrence was the last one of these, you know, supposedly special quarterback prospects, the once every couple of years talents. And they did a lot of losing in Jacksonville. It's been a rough climb there. Caleb Williams steps into a team that, yeah, they're 7-10. They've been picking 9th anyway, so it's not great. But there's a lot in place, and there's also a lot in place to keep it going. He is stepping in at the completion of the rebuild,
mm-hmm.
and then the Bears will look to go from there. They've got extra picks next year. They have not misspent their salary cap. They have good pieces on the offensive line and at the skill positions. They have, theoretically, we think, do you agree, it's probably a top 10 defense next year?
Yeah, top 10, 12.
I mean, that's
like
a huge help to a quarterback.
Sure.
That means, people ask me all the time, how do you think Caleb will do next season? And I really can't sit here and tell you numbers that he's
right.
going to hit or performance that he's going to have. And I know this is going to sound like a very Bears coach type answer, but I do think he'll be able to win. I think the stat will be wins, because he'll be able to win some games where maybe they only score 20 points and he throws a couple picks, but that defense is good enough that you can win 20-17. That is a huge luxury. Remember Justin Fields' first year with Eberflus and Poles?
Yeah.
Like, try to get to 40 if you
right.
want to have a chance to win?
Sure. And it, what was didn't Justin say that every time they go out, they try to score, was it 20?
I think 28, he said.
Yeah, and it's...
And,
yep.
that wouldn't have been enough most weeks.
Well, let's look at last
2022.
Season. I mean, you know, last season they managed. I mean, they started the year on one of the great losing streaks in the history of the sport. By the end of it, they're competitive and winning. I would argue to you that a B-minus quarterback last year might have won them in an extra couple of games. So, you know, if that's what Caleb is, if Caleb comes in and is better than Justin Fields, you're going to win more games, I think, provided you stay healthy and all of that. I also think that I think the only thing that I would argue against your point that this is a great setup for him,
relative to being a highly drafted quarterback,
is the fact that there is a very well-worn history in the NFL of coaches getting fired at the end of a rookie quarterback's first season. And that if this does not go well, there is a potential for starting over in the building with a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. You're teaching Caleb new stuff for the second straight year. The Bears don't want that to happen. The reason they kept Matt Eberflus was in the name of continuity, and I think he would probably have to do pretty poorly for them to just absolutely can him at the end of the year. But, you know, so many teams have, you know, the Houston Texans, they paired D'Amico Ryans with their rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
They grow together. There is no fear that even had it gone poorly, they weren't going to swap him out.
This is a huge part of the argument in favor of firing Matt Eberflus at the end of last season.
Right. And you know, the Panthers did the same thing, and then they fired Frank Reich. But the Panthers, I think we can treat them as outliers in terms of having a crazy
owner. When you say well-worn history of this happening in the NFL, the Bears did it with their last two
coaches.
First-round quarterbacks.
I think what I looked up was since 2010, I want to say that that only two coaches have survived a number one overall pick quarterback's rookie season. And those two guys were both in their first year. Zach Taylor was one of them. And there was a Rams coach who was one of them. Cliff Kingsbury. Beyond that, you know, most coaches who have a number one overall pick get fired.
Most times when you have the number one overall pick, roster is an absolute wreck.
And most times you have number one pick, it's because your season prior was awful.
Yeah.
The Bears, you know, was not great, but it wasn't awful. Do you think, as we look at that number nine spot, we talked about what position groups would help them the most. Is there a specific player that grabs you? One of the things Ryan Poles talked about today was, you know, they had these meetings where they said, all right, you are team D-line, you are team receiver, you are team left tackle. Now, you know, war game this thing out for us. Tell us, you know, what's the most valuable position to take, all things being equal.
Well, I would want Harrison or Hall if they're within reach. If you have any chance, I could almost justify Pat trading away next year's first-round pick to get one of those guys.
If you could get Marvin Harrison.
Or Joel is considered a sure thing left tackle for them. I mean, you think your roster is close. You are imagining this first-round pick next year to be 18th or 20th or something like that. If you have a chance to get one of these great, great game-changing guys like Marvin Harrison, if you could trade up from 9 to 4 at a steep, steep price, I think I'd want to do it. If we're going to take that option off the table because it is very unlikely, who do I love? I mean, I love a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Odunze, I would love to see Rome Odunze from Washington.
Right.
And I think there'd be a lot of good logic in that because not only drafting a receiver there fills out your starting three, and it's a good three.
It's great three.
You got to love DJ. Might be. DJ Moore in his prime right now, coming off his best season. Keenan Allen still got it and still a technician of a route runner, which is that cannot be. You cannot talk about that enough, what a help that's going to be to Caleb Williams to know Keenan Allen be in the right spot all the time. That is a huge asset. And then a top 10 pick. And then on top of that, looking forward beyond this year, that is a guy that is now with Caleb Williams going forward. That is going to be his guy if everything goes right for a decade.
And I have no,
I like that move.
I have no issue with the Bears letting Keenan Allen play this year without an extension. Yeah, they don't have to. And if they draft another wide receiver, that only helps their case, I think. If they want to sit there and say, hey, Keenan, if you love it here, please stay. But if not, we are not, you know, you don't leave us over a barrel because, you know, we've got a wide receiver there. I think it would be so interesting. Their needs line up really well at number nine with what's going to be there at number nine. And that only gets better if J.J. McCarthy goes high, if, you know, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Those are four quarterbacks right there.
You're looking for a run. You're wanting to see a run. You're wanting to see someone that's not a top 10 pick.
Right.
Like Bo Nix or Michael Penix get drafted between 2 and 8.
Right.
Because someone's just so desperate. You're looking for the Raiders, the Broncos, the Saints, maybe Seattle to leap up there and make sure that they get their guy. And that only, as you're saying, only slides better options to you because you don't need a quarterback.
No.
You're getting that at one.
I don't think that's going to happen, though. I mean, I'd be surprised if Penix or Nix were top 10.
There's a lot of desperation, man. There's a lot of desperation. Go ahead.
I know I was just going to make a...
Think what you got if you're a quarterback, Pat. If you're the Raiders or the Broncos.
You had all offseason to fix it, too, and you didn't. I mean...
The Broncos just traded for Zach Wilson. The Saints need one just as badly. They just maybe won't because they paid so much for
Carr. And they still have to pay Carr this year. Yeah. And then, you know, if you look at Seattle, they have the Washington Huskies offensive coordinator as their offensive coordinator. So that, I mean, a reunion with Michael Penix makes a ton of sense if they want to do that. I don't think you'll have to go into the top 10 to get them.
That's what you're hoping for if you're the Bears. You're hoping for a bigger run than even expect. The bigger the run on quarterbacks between 2 and 8, the better for you.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be a fun week for the Bears. Really unlike anything we've seen. Is there any other thing, anything I'm missing here? Anything you want to see this week? I think it's trite to sit there and say it's a new era of Bears football because, you know, they have a new president. They have a whole lot of different people in their front office, in their business office. They have a new offensive coordinator. They're going to have a new quarterback. It's real easy to sit there and be like, today's a new day. I think we all know a little better being around the Bears that that's not often a guarantee. But, boy, it feels like it might be a new day.
This week is the end of the rebuild.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right.
Now you finally have gotten your time. You've had your three off seasons if you're Ryan Poles, and you've picked your quarterback.
Yep.
This isn't stuck with Ryan Pace's quarterback or Matt Nagy stuck with Mitch Trubisky or all these other problems. You've gotten your choice of in a good quarterback class. You have the first pick. You get to pick your guy. It's time to move forward and your roster's done.
Right.
There is no more, I need a little more time. This should be it. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to see if it floats.
Right. And maybe you pick up a veteran edge rusher or there's still guys floating around who are waiting to see what teams do in the draft.
And that's stuff you do every year. Yeah. This is the end of the core. This is the end of the rebuild.
As Ryan Pohl said, it's going to be really hard to make the team now. And
everyone made the team in 2022.
The implication was that that wasn't always the case. Real quick before we go, did you mention will it float? Did you ever see on Letterman? You're younger than I am. Did you ever see the game Will It Float?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was funny. I was a big Letterman fan.
Yeah,
Letterman was my choice out of the two.
I think that's everybody's choice out of the two. You'd hope.
Absolutely not.
I know the ratings don't say that.
Leno was way more popular.
I'm sorry. That's every intelligent person. Okay, now I'm abandoning half our audience. I'm sorry. Yes, Letterman.
More than half.
Yeah, what, 54%?
Leno was very popular, man. But it wasn't for me.
No, I was more of a Dave guy myself. He is Jason. I'm Pat. We will be back as the week marches on. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Check out the Sun Times on the web or in print, and follow Mark Potash too. I think he'd really appreciate that.
Was it Conan for you? Was it Letterman and then Conan? That's what it was for me.
I liked.
They would be on back to back on different channels.
Craig Ferguson, I like more than any of them.
That does actually fits with you. I like
it's
him.
Silly. Yeah.
I like him, but it fits with you.
Yeah. I'll take that as a compliment. Sure. Anyway, we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.